Adversity? Bring it. The struggle? I welcome it. Snooze on life? Never that. I am Dave Regina, and this is the No Snooze Podcast. Come on. Welcome back, No Snooze Podcast, episode 183. As always, I'm in the booth with a new three. We have Christian Powerhouse Palmer, Claudio the Voice Valenzuela, and I am Dave, I'm embarrassed to say this now, the Body Regina. You'll see why in a minute. Christian specializes in helping men regain vigor, build unshakable confidence, and achieve their fitness goals through conquering nutrition. Throughout his 15 plus years as a coach, he has successfully helped hundreds of clients achieve their health and fitness goals, along with helping them obtain a level of confidence they had never previously experienced. He also helps men with issues such as diabetes, low testosterone, hormonal dysfunction, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, colitis, IBS, and various other challenges. Christian is also a writer for Muscle and Fitness magazine and is the owner of Relentless Fitness and Nutrition. Proud to call Christian a great friend of mine. Welcome to the podcast, my brother.
Thank you for having me, bro.
Yeah, man. I said I was embarrassed to say the nickname The Body, because if you look on YouTube right now, this man is ginormous. Wow, CV, thanks. I appreciate it. He makes my shoulders and my thighs look like baby thighs over here. And I've never seen a man kick stronger than you. So kudos to you, my brother. I want to look like that one day. Maybe one day. Shout out to Steph Madonia, right? On the original connection with us. Just to give full transparency here, you know, Christian actually spoke at our first ever Action Cultivates Excellence Men's Summit. And by the way, I have a gift for you. I think you forgot your takeaway from the event.
Oh, no.
Okay. Right? You didn't have one of these, right? No. So this is for you. It's a little goodie bag here. So you got your own little No Snooze water bottle. This is for you.
That's awesome.
Ice and Iron. Little cap here show up. Shout out to Joe K. You got the Action Cultivates Excellence. I don't know if we gave you a big enough size t-shirt right here. And the gym bag with the logo on it, man. So this is all for you.
Appreciate you, bro. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. So I guess, you know, when you look at you, I want to know what life, I guess, looked like before this. You see this monster, this powerhouse of a human being, very influential. You're a diesel dude, but take me back a little bit. Let's start from the beginning with Christian Palmer.
So before I started lifting at 14, I did martial arts as a kid. I did Okinawan Goju-Ryu for 10 years, got my black belt there. And I was a typical kid who loved all kinds of sports. I was always active. That was, matter of fact, they diagnosed me with ADD when I was a kid. And all I wanted to do was play. In class, I'm like the kid who's like, yeah, when are we going outside? I'm talking to people, not focused on being in school because I wasn't interested.
Right.
I'm like, I want to use my body. I want to do things. So I used to skateboard. I used to inline skate. I did BMX. I did martial arts. In high school, I did track and field. I played football.
For your size, you're very agile, dude.
The athletic background. I've never stopped it because bodybuilding, you get really stiff.
Yeah.
So I've always valued moving well and it's fun, you know, using your body more than just lifting weights.
Yep.
When I was 14, I was at my dad's house. And I was searching for, I don't remember what it was online, but I came across a picture of a IFBB pro, Garrett Downing. Mm. And a lot of people don't know who he is, but I just saw this picture. He was backstage at, I think it might've been the 1999 NPC Nationals, I believe. And he's just standing there. And I was like, can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was like, holy shit, I want to look just like that. That day, matter of fact, 5 minutes later, I was in my brother's room using his weights. I don't know what I was doing. I was just moving. Like, he had the old weights with the sand in them. He had the screw the ends on.
Yep.
I was just like, all right, I'm get it. Push-ups. And then just intuitively, I'm like, well, there has to be some sort of way I have to eat to get bigger. I have no idea where that came from. I just thought of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just researching, just printing out papers, using up all my parents' ink and pen. I'm in it. And, you know, it spiraled over the years. And then with martial arts, that was what really got me to focus on something that I loved, because it was movement. It was like human chess, right? You learn how to strike, how to use your body, how to anticipate what someone else is going to do. And that translated into school, because I was always the kid who talked, like I said. And matter of fact, my parents had put me on Ritalin. And then now it's funny, you talk to them now, they're like, oh, we shouldn't have done that. You were just an active kid, but whatever. It was what it was. And it helped me focus in school. It helped me pursue the things that I love more. And then being in the gym was a whole nother venture. My brother actually worked at this little gym in our town.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Washingtonville, New York. So you know where the Woodbury Commons is?
Yes.
Like 15 minutes north.
Okay.
And back then, my brother worked at the gym in town. It was the only gym in town. And it was 500 yards from the school. So I used to kick my gym bag, put my tank top on, my weight belt. Even before I left the school, I would just be in it walking down the street. The kids would be driving in the bus and they'd be screaming out the window, there's Palmer going to the gym. Ah. And you know, I'm just like, yeah, shut up. You'll see one day. You know? And
did you wear gloves back then?
Dude, I did.
I knew it.
When I first started, I don't even know why. Because it was just, I guess it was... You know what it was? Because I used to read Flex magazine. So I started ordering it when I was in high school.
Okay.
I used to get it every month. Yeah, I'd read that thing 30 minutes after it came in the mail. Mm. You know, coming in the mailbox. Is it there? Is it there? And a lot of those guys used to wear gloves. Even Ronnie.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Gunter Schlierkamp. Like a lot of these guys. So I'm like, all right, I guess that's what I do. And then after a while, I'm like, nah.
I mean, I guess when you're that big, it's okay. Like nobody's gonna say anything to you. But I crack up when I see dudes with.
Oh, nowadays
like, it looks really.
Oh, it's a sin.
It looks really bad. Yeah. All right, so if you're wearing gloves out there, just take them off, throw them in the garbage. Okay,
yeah. Burn them.
All right, sorry to cut you off.
And so I used to walk to the gym every day, and I would just do what was in these magazines. But I feel like I've always had an intuition when it comes to movement. Probably largely came from martial arts and just understanding moving your body and just being athletic. So I trained and I was not big when I started, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's something that I think a lot of people don't realize is that everyone starts somewhere. I was a slim kid. I did track and field. I was very fast. There was one season where I went undefeated in the 100 meter dash. I did high jump. Funny enough, because I'm not tall. I loved competition. That's something I remember as a kid. Everything that I did with my friends, it was always a race or who's better. We'd be riding our bikes. Like I would take my bike, go to the next cul-de-sac. I grab my buddies. We go to the next cul-de-sac, grab buddies. And I'd be like, yo, I bet you I could beat you up the street, you know? Or if we're running, I bet you I can make it to the other side of the field faster. I bet you I can kick it further, throw it further.
Yeah.
There's always wanted competition. So when I came across lifting and I saw these bodybuilders and I'm like, I want to get on stage one day. It was a competition, but it was myself. And all I could rely on was myself. No one else would be responsible if I failed, if mm-hmm. I succeeded. And it really just grabbed me. And over the year, I became addicted to the progress, mm-hmm. you know, and the discipline that it takes to do it. It's very interesting because I feel like from day one, I've been so interested in what the human body is capable of and just being around other athletic people and being attracted to greatness. Like I liked all the athletes that everyone likes, mm-hmm. the Michael Jordans, you know, the Tom Brady's and Mike Tyson, my favorite athlete of all time.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Cause he's just like the embodiment of savagery and intelligence. A lot of people don't realize how smart he is. Mm-hmm. Very well read. So I would just, my room was a poster board of just athletic greatness. I had pictures of everybody. You couldn't even see my walls because really? It was just pictures. Yep. It'd be Ronnie Coleman, it'd be Jay Cutler, it'd be Mike Tyson, it'd be Muhammad Ali. And every day I would just go in there and be like, I'm gonna achieve something one day. Because I wanted to be the first thing that I saw when I woke up and the last thing before I went to sleep.
That's powerful, man.
Yeah.
And now do you think, manifestation gets like a bad rap these days, I think, you know, but there's definitely something to be said about, like, you know, keeping that intention. I love the word intention and alignment. Do you think, obviously you didn't really know at that time what intention meant, but do you think doing those things and having that, you know, poster on the wall and seeing it every single day before you went to bed, first thing when you wake up in the morning, played a part in why you are the way you are today?
100%.
Really?
Because what we focus on grows in our experience. That's something I learned from Tony Robbins and just people who I've listened to, who can, like Jordan Peterson's, who break things down, and obviously not back then. But it was always, it's everything in life you need a target. If you just want to get out of your house faster in the morning, well, you need a time, right? If you're trying to make money, well, what's your target? I want to make money. Okay, how much? Because here's $5. Is that all you want? Right. Or is it, you know? And it just gave me a focus because I made my life conducive to what I wanted to achieve. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, it's like nothing else was really that interesting to me because that's just really captivated me. So 100%. And this is why nowadays I tell clients, I'm like, you need to surround yourself with people who are where you want to be. If you're either the most fit person in the room or the smartest person in the room or whatever, you're in the wrong room. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to be in your comfort zone. And I didn't know any of this back then. I just was following my gut. But 100% seeing those things, because I was never, I mean, I was first starting out and I was so far away from what they are. And every day it was inspirational because it wasn't like I set my goals small. They were huge. I'm like, okay, you're going to be on the Olympia stage one day, but this is day one. All right, you got a lot of work to do. Mm-hmm. I think part of it also, and I know part of it, was my dad, because he was a military man. So my dad was in the military. He was in the Army. My brother was in the Marines. My uncle was in the Navy. My other uncle was in the Air Force. So I've grown up in a military family, and my dad used to get up at 5 a.m., do his push-ups, sit-ups, you know, his military workout. And when I was a kid, at a certain point, I started to notice that, right? And
you know how old?
Oh, man. I was single-digit age. I was probably 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I would see him get up and I knew that it just meant something. I didn't know what it was. But the fact that he did it all the time, and he was a stickler with do it right or do it again. And now, and one of my favorite ways to learn that, which I actually learned from the SEALs, is there's only two ways to do things, the right way and again. So I would, man, I know this is like turning into a story. He taught me how to do a lot of things when I was a kid. One, he was always doing yard work. He was always fixing things around the house. He was the guy that if something needed to be fixed, he would fix it. The plumbing goes, the electric. He actually worked for Orange and Rockland, which is now owned by Con Ed.
Okay.
But he fixed everything. Anything that needed to be done, he did it. He's the one who taught me to change my oil. And I did that all through high school and until, you know, you realize I have a certain point, like, okay, I can't be spending the time doing this. But I would change the oil and use the drain pan that, you know, he would let me use his tools.
Yeah.
I would put it back, and if there was one smudge or a little, he would take his finger. He's like, Christian, he would scream for me, come clean this. And I'm like, mother, you know?
Wow.
But it instilled in me the habit that leave things how you find them. And I've learned that, like, going to people's houses. You know, someone invites you over, like, don't leave a mess. Dirty dishes, like, I clean them. And the same thing, my mom taught me that too. I was like, if you do it right the first time, you don't have to do it again. Mm-hmm. So then I apply that in life. And I think a lot of people don't understand that the details matter. So I'm fortunate. He was a hard ass man. He was hard on me. But I'm fortunate that combined with my interest in athletics, and it all tied together to give me, I think, a good foundation of character.
It makes sense, man. It really does. Both parents still around today?
Yes.
Awesome. God bless them. Talk to me a little bit about mom and her journey and how pivotal, I guess, she had diabetes.
Yeah.
So there was a real pivotal moment, I guess, for you where you wanted to help mom with the diabetes. Let's dive into that a little bit.
Yeah. So my mom's Italian. And matter of fact, my great-grandmother was born in Bari, Italy. So I'm Italian and Jamaican. Mm-hmm. So Italian household, there's a lot of bread, a lot of pasta, right? And that's a tradition. And she grew up cooking my grandfather's and my grandmother's recipes. So my mom actually was a phys ed major in high school, or in college, excuse me. And So she understood the fitness side, but you know, as parents get older and they get their jobs and that stuff kind of falls by the wayside, right? So would always eat well. That was also something that my mom always instilled in me is that you eat well-rounded meals. You always have a vegetable. You always have, but you know, things happen. She was a smoker for 35 years and she did quit. And I was part of that. And that's would be something fun to talk about. But when I was getting into lifting was around the time she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And I was just, again, I understood health. I understood, I didn't do it for that purpose. It was more because it was a goal and it was fun. But when I heard that she was diagnosed with diabetes, that's when I just started getting into reading more about nutrition and understanding more that how to fuel your body, what's healthy, what's not. And I'm like, well, type 2 is about diabetes. I didn't really know the depths of it because this was when I was a teenager. And I'm like, well, I know it's not good. So can I do something to help her? I don't know. Well, let me start reading. So I'm like, okay, well, when you exercise, you use carbs, and carbs, if you eat too much of them and you don't move, can cause this. So if we get her to move more, that would help with blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. So I started encouraging her to make better choices as far as some of the things that she would cook with. I'm like, well, maybe we can make this recipe using this. Or, you know, mom, hey, you like, how about we go for a walk? Or there, you remember the gym called Curves? It used to be for women.
Curves. I'm thinking of who started that?
I don't know who started that.
Somebody big. No. So I don't, but I'm thinking of another gym just for women. Well, okay. Maybe the commercial is a Curves I'm thinking of.
It could be.
I don't know, but go ahead.
So it was a women's gym where it was like a 30-minute circuit. You would go in there, 30 minutes, you just rotate through the machines. I think you'd work on each machine for like a minute, and then they give you a minute off, and it's a mill. You just, right? So she actually went to the one in our town because she got to a point where when she stopped smoking, she was, you know, people who smoke a lot get an oral fixation, right? Because so they usually replace the smoking with eating. So she started to put on some weight. Diabetes happened. Then after a while, she's like, all right, I got to fix this. And then I'm probably because just my personality of, oh, if you want something or if you're interested in something, just do it. Go all in. So I would nag her. And she's like, will you get off my back? I will do something about it. Yeah. So I realized like I used to push. Hey, mom, like, are you working out every day? Are you exercising? Are you blah, 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 blah. So she joined the Curves. She lost weight. And then I was helping her with her eating, making better choices. And after a while, she got her weight under control and she started losing weight. And this took years. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people think this stuff is overnight. Yeah. You know, her habits changing those. And then other things like her relationship with my dad wasn't the best. That adds to people's eating issues. Mm-hmm. And after a while, she lost enough weight and she got her diet under control enough to the point where they're like, they minimized her insulin. And then eventually they're like, all right, you don't need it anymore. And what I realized is I'm like, all right, well, obviously I love my mom. I want her to be around. And then I thought, I'm like, well, if I helped her with that, I'm like, I'm sure I can help other people with this. And that translated down the road when I started working as a trainer at Equinox. And even before that, what was interesting, actually dialing back to high school, I know I'm jumping around.
No, you're good.
Is when I used to walk, and I still remember, I would walk out of school straight across that parking lot diagonally, and I would walk on the sidewalk. There'd be the kids on the bus screaming out the window, Palmer. Blah, blah, blah. Eventually, my friend started to follow me to the gym. And actually, when I first started lifting, even before I went to the gym, it was in the high school weight room after track and field practice. Because I'd asked the coach, I'm like, coach, can you leave the weight room open a little bit longer? He's like, yeah, just make sure you lock up like when you're done. So a couple of my good friends, matter of fact, Mike Self, who I'm still good friends with now, Tim McGrory, I'm just kind of going back over these names. Yep. And they were like, hey, you know, like, cool if we lift with you? I'm like, of course. Like, what do you, yeah. So then they would start doing everything I did. So I almost feel like, if you want to say the universe kind of put me in this leadership role from the beginning,
yep.
Because whatever I did was the workout for everybody. So we would go and it'd be like the five of us and we're just doing rows and I'd be looking at their form like, hey, do it this way. Cause in my head, I'm like, this is what I read on the internet. This is what I saw in the magazines. Okay. You got to make sure your shoulder's away from the ear, you know, make sure to keep your back flat. And they started getting stronger. Like I was getting stronger and it was cool. Cause we just had this little group of buddies who just, we would lift, we would eat together. Like when I started getting my protein powder, in the beginning, like, oh, should we do that too? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like get this one, you know? So it was so cool because, you know, every guy needs a group of buddies who you just go through things with, you know? And from there it was, all right, well, we kind of outgrew that weight room because one, when football season comes in, which I played, the players were there and then the wrestling team. And then eventually it's like, there's not enough room for everybody. Mm-hmm. It was a little crap weight room, but it was our start. Then it was, oh, my brother started working at the gym in town. And he's like, man, just come in. He's like, you get a free membership because I work here. I was like, really? So I started working out there. My friends all followed me there. We would all walk down the street together. Everybody's yelling out the bus. Like, it was just this evolution of buddies just having fun, lifting, getting strong. And then, of course, it was cool. Some of the girls like that.
Yeah.
So, and then they started going to the gym.
Yep.
And it was just an evolution of just wanting to be better and being with your buddies. And everyone wanted the same thing. And it was cool. And then at a certain point, like, I became known in the school as the guy who just like lifted weights. Like, there was the athletes and the jocks.
See,
and like,
why.
Well, you know, and it's funny because you look at pictures from back then and I'm like, you have a little physique, you look like a track athlete, but when you show that you're dedicated, and I used to bring my meals into school, dude.
You were doing that back then?
Yeah.
Really? I was just, in high school?
Yeah.
Wow.
Dude, it was, matter of fact, I got in trouble because I would step out of class and go into the bathroom and eat my meals. what was his name? He caught me in the bathroom. He's like, dude, he's like, stop eating your meals in here. Get back in class. I'm like, fuck. I was just so all in. It was just so interesting to me. And I knew nothing else. I'm like, I just knew that whatever, even back in martial arts, like if some kid kicked harder than me, I'm like, I'm going to kick harder than him. If he got his belt faster, I'm like, no, that's not going to happen again. I was just dedicated from an early age. And I used to get laughed at in high school. And that's something a lot of people don't like dealing with is, I used to bring my food into the lunchroom and kids would be like, oh, Palmer, what you got today? What's funny also is that some of those kids are actually my clients now. And we're cool. But dude, I used to be in class. I remember whatever my mom would make the night before, like I would take the protein, whether it was like steak, salmon, whatever. Yeah. This one day, matter of fact, Ricky D. Donato, that was one of my buddies. He was sitting next to me. So I took salmon out of my bag.
Oh,
it was warm too.
Oh.
Opened it in the classroom, and you know how that goes. Yep. Everyone's like, what the hell is that? Even a teacher. And, you know, I'm like trying to keep it under the desk, taking like little bites. Ricky's like, what the fuck? I'm like, shut up. You know? And that was just the thing. Like, I'm just eating out of my book bag every day. And I just loved it, man. It was just this pursuit that I was just all in on.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely, listen, looking at you, now you understand, I guess hearing your story now, it's important for people to know the story because when people just look at humans in general, you come to these, you know, just you make up your own scenario in your head, you know, and you're basically like, well, yeah, he probably is a meathead and just works out and that's really it. But there's a discipline and consistency about you that like I'm a disciplined guy and I'm looking at you and I'm like, damn, all right, there's levels, you know. And that's why I like to surround myself with individuals like yourself, too. And I remember as soon as we jumped on that call, me, you and Sean, it was the instant synergy. I guess I want to go to, well, before I forget this, can you? And this is for everybody, male and female. Explain that 3-2-1 approach because I think it's one of the best things that it's simple, it's easy to understand. And I mean, even me, I don't do any of it. So I'm trying to get better with it, but I literally mess every single one up every night. But I'm trying to get better. But go ahead, share with everybody. I think there's a lot of value with this 3-2-1 approach.
Yeah. So, I mean, first and foremost, I'll say is that you're never perfect from the beginning, right? Anybody listening to this. Because like guys will look at you, guys will look at me, they'll look at Sean, like, oh, well, they're already in shape, they're already. Well, how do they know what it's like to be me? I know what it's like to screw up. I know what it's like to want to do something and not be good in the beginning. And I just put things in terms of the universe. Like universe says, all right, you're interested. Let's see how interested you are. I'm going to throw difficulty in your way. I'm going to throw the fact that you suck right now. Right. Other people are better. They're going to tell you you're not good.
Yep.
So even when it comes to changing habits about how to go to sleep, dude, even to this day, I'm like, I'm going to be in bed at this time. Doesn't happen.
Something happens.
Always, man. And so the 3-2-1 is to help you get better sleep because sleep is one of the magic bullets of life. Nowadays, we're always looking for what's the magic bullet. What's the thing that's going to change? Sleep is in one of the top three pillars, I think, of life, period. So 3 hours before you go to bed should be your last meal. 2 hours before you go to bed should be the last thing you drink. And 1 hour before bed, no more screens. And for a lot of people, that's not possible. Like, I have a lot of clients who work real late. They get home late. Or they're guys on Wall Street and they're type A and they're, you know, right until you go to bed. Yeah. Right, putting out fires. Okay, do this deal. Okay, well, I got to talk to this guy. I got to fire this person tomorrow. And I'm like, if that doesn't work for you, then break it down smaller. In that hour before you go to bed, how about 45 minutes before you go to bed should be your last meal? 30 minutes would be the last thing you drink. And 15 could be the screen.
Right.
I'm like, micro progressions, I think there's so much value in that. The same thing with people when they want to work out more. I'm like, okay, if you're not working out at all, do a 15-minute workout. Some people say, well, that's dumb. Are you doing it now? No. So then get started. I've had clients that come to me and I'm like, I want you to go for a 5-minute walk 3 times this week. Then naturally when they're out there for 5, it turns into, I stayed out for 10, 15.
Yeah.
And it naturally progresses. But if you make it so insanely easy, there's no way you're going to fail unless you truly don't want it.
And you don't do it.
Yes, right? Correct. So the 3-2-1, it's, 3 hours before, last meal, 2 hours before, last bit of liquid, and then 1 hour before screen. So I actually did this myself before I started telling people to do it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, let's see if it's actually, if there's value. And with me, I noticed that I used to think that I slept pretty well. And then I did that and I'm like, oh. And now you have an Aura ring, so track everything.
But I've been talking about that now a couple times on the podcast. I'm anxious of that, man, because I feel like I don't get the best sleep. And if I were to like actually see it, I'm like, oh, man, it's going to make me more anxious. Mm. You know, and then maybe I don't sleep even more. But how, instrumental has that thing been?
So very, you know, in one way, so I can 100% relate to what you're thinking.
And it has sleep debt, right?
Yes.
So sleep debt is the concept of like if you sleep 4 hours, right, the debt might be 3 to 4 hours carried on to the next day, right? Is that pretty much what it is?
Well, it'll tell you where you're lacking and what that means as far as how you're going to operate that day and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So I can 100% relate because I feel like where you're coming from is a place of like you want to like kill it right away. And if you don't, you're like, I'm the same way. I get pissed at myself every day. For different things. Mm-hmm. And in this, you know, devices like this, like they gamify your sleep. So I've changed my mindset around it to say, okay, how can you win the game or be better in the game tomorrow? Because I used to say, oh, you fucked it up again. Like, here you go. And I realized I'm like, okay, I'm kicking myself in the nuts every day versus looking at it like I tell my clients to do, right? I almost treated myself like a client. All right, just be a little better tomorrow. Is it 5 minutes more sleep you're going to get? Okay, do that. How are you going to get that five? Like, what does your night have to look like to get that sleep? So it's been very instrumental because it shows you your REM sleep, your non-REM sleep, your deep sleep, how many times you're awake. If you have sleep apnea, it'll give you prompts on you know, what that, it'll tell you your oxygen saturation, your body temperature, your heart rate, your steps for the day, your total calories burned. So if you want to really geek out, it's got a ton of stuff. But if you want to just look at the baseline,
You can.
The main page, when you open it up, it just tells you, hey, 80% recovery. Mm-hmm. Good job. 85%. Great job. 90%. You get crowns. And like, it's, you know, so it's for people who sort of think they're doing well, because a lot of us, you can operate in ignorance is bliss.
Yep.
Right? Oh, I think I'm doing fine. You know, am I feeling better today? I don't really know. Well, you can find out.
No, you definitely need data. Are you looking to elevate your brand with captivating visuals and immersive sound? Look no further than the home of the No Snooze podcast, Kai Visions Productions, your go-to destination for cutting-edge audio and video production. At Kai Visions, we don't just create content. We create experiences that leave a lasting impact. From podcasts, YouTube variety shows, sleek corporate videos, to attention-grabbing promotional campaigns, our team of experts is dedicated to turning your vision into reality. Choose Kai Visions for a production experience like no other. It's time to make your brand known. Contact us today at kaivisions@gmail.com or find us on Instagram at Kai Visions. Kai Visions Productions, where audiovisual excellence meets innovation. Now, back to the Epi. Let's talk to the individual. I get, and I'm intrigued by this all the time. And again, I've been in the health and wellness space, you know, myself for a long time. I still have Crohn's disease, but I've been in remission for the past 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I've had to, you know, learn my own ways. And very much like you, you know, the first thing that I did was when the doctor told me that I was going to live with this for the rest of my life, I picked up a book. Mm-hmm. And I went to the gym because there's a huge correlation, as you know, between Crohn's, colitis, IBS, and mm-hmm. stress.
Yes.
They think there's a hereditary piece, but a stress is a huge trigger. Mm-hmm. So I actually exercised to balance that out. And then mm-hmm. I fell in love. Everybody always used to call me skinny. Mm. So I said, all right, motherfucker, like, yeah, call me skinny now, yeah. You know, call me skinny now, and I'm going to be bigger than you. And I had mm-hmm. this one friend, still a great friend of mine to this very day. And he was always like, you'll never be bigger than me. Ooh. I'm like, okay, you're my target. You're my target.
Yeah, yeah.
And we still laugh about it today, but he knows very well. Mm-hmm. So shout out, I don't want to say his name, Driton Gemma, but you know what it is. and still, again, one of my best friends in the world. Yeah. So, you know, the individual, though, who doesn't have that type of experience, isn't forced right away into something like that. How do you get them started? And what do you think it is about individuals who are just really weak-minded when it comes to that? They could be really good in their business. They could be really good parents, really good at one facet of their life. But then when it comes to their actual health, unless they're told by a doctor, you have 6 months to live, then in that moment, I believe everybody in the world is going to change. Mm-hmm. Do you have like a little... maybe something that we haven't really heard much when it comes to that individual?
Mm-hmm. Two things is the why behind what you're doing and your story about yourself. So I've in the last year to 18 months, I've had more interactions with different people who are interested in working with me as a coach, different people who just wanted to talk and get a little info about their current situation health-wise. And I've really delved into people's mind more than the nutrition. Because when your mind is right, the nutrition follows. What I've found out is that a lot of people, everyone, we all have a story about ourselves. Like your story is you're fit, you're a leader, you're a father, these are the things that you are and you will be, and your goal is to continue to be better at them. Some of my guys who are type A that work in finance, well, I'm the best salesman on this floor, period. Like, you're working harder than me? All right, so it looks like I'm staying to work another hour today, mm-hmm. make another 100 calls, whatever it is. Athletics. Brady was like, you know, well, how many do you want to get? He would talk about the one after the next one.
Yeah.
He's like, well, what about the next? Well, yeah, but that one's going to happen. We got to figure out how I'm going to get to 7. Michael Jordan, right? It's just all these guys. So, they all had a why. Jordan would make up artificial arguments that people didn't have with him just to put himself in that place. Oh, you said this about me?
Yeah.
Like, no, they didn't say that. Good. Good. No, that's cool. I remember there was one, I cannot remember the scenario. I'm trying to think, but somebody didn't shake his hand. And he used that as like, oh, okay. All right. You're too good to shake my hand. Got it. Next time they play the game, you know, he did Mike. So everyone's got a why. But sometimes it's not strong enough. So, for example, people will say, I'd love to lose 5 pounds. Okay. What are you going to do about it? And how are you going to get there? Because old habits are hard to break, man. Our comfort zone is such a comfortable place, of course. It's hard to get out of it. So I tell people, I've had clients who are on both ends of the spectrum. Some who have decent health. Kids are healthy. Things are going well. Plenty of zeros in the bank. And they're like, oh, well, I want to, you know, look better. But they just, I can never really get it done. So then sometimes I'll say, well, you know, what kind of man do you want to be for your kids? What do you mean? Well, you know, you realize that if you're overweight, you see how your kid's overweight?
Mm-hmm.
You think that's on accident? I'm like, do you realize? And I give it to people straight. I'm like, you realize you're the reason why he's overweight. Well, what do you mean? You can't say that. I'm like, yeah, I can. Where do you think he learned it from? And they're like, okay. So if you want your kid to live a better life, improve yourself. So then you got to make it bigger than them. Because it's easy for us to let ourselves down because there's no one breathing over our back. And then I'll say, you know, if your kid comes up to you one day and asks you, hey, daddy, you know, how do I get past this problem? Or kids are making fun of me for being overweight or whatever it is. I'm like, you realize you're not in a position to tell them how to do it because you quit on yourself.
Mm.
right? So he can go find out from somebody else. Then I've had clients on the other end of the spectrum. And the doc is like, your arteries. I had a guy who had 75% blockage in his coronary artery. And I'm like, but he couldn't get it together. Oh, you know, the work and things and whatever. I'm like, are you okay with the fact that some other man might be walking your daughter down the aisle one day? He's like, what do you mean? Well, if you pass away, your wife's going to move on. Mm-hmm. You realize that, right? And you know, you got to feel out the clients. Mm-hmm. You got to know them. But you got to attack, because as men, we're designed to grow through struggle. And emotion, I learned this kind of phrase recently, is emotion creates motion. And it's like, if you tell people,
motion creates emotion?
Emotion creates motion.
Emotion creates motion. Got mm-hmm. it.
And if you tell people like, okay, eat this many grams of protein. Okay, good. Eat whatever. But if a party's happening or something, you know, oh, you know, I couldn't because client dinners and oh, just on the weekend, the boys were drinking. But if you make it bigger than them, your family will benefit from what you do.
Yep.
What's your legacy, right, that you want to leave? What do you want your kids to remember about you? What kind of lives do you want them to lead? Because I know for sure sons become their fathers, daughters date their fathers. So I'm like, if you're overweight and you're out of shape and you're not taking care of yourself, what kind of man can you be for your woman? Do you want your daughter to be with a guy who's not going to put her first or put himself in a position to protect her, right? I mean, you guys go out to a party and some dude wants to get handsy, right? I'm sorry. I guess you can do whatever you want to her.
Just touch my
or head. Is it like, nah, you about to get snuffed. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to, it's like you almost have to put yourself in a position that if this happens, I'm ready. If your friends see you getting in shape, they're going to be inspired. So I'm at the place now, it used to be just for myself. Now I do a lot of this for people who rely on me. You know, I made a promise to myself that, and we can even talk about that later, that I'm going to help my mom with a certain thing. You know, I want to be a leader for a leader among men. And the days that I feel like, oh, I'm a little bit low on energy, I don't want to, I'm like, you know, real people are depending on you. Because if they see you take a day off or don't do what you said you're going to do, that's a big part too. Mm-hmm. Then you're a fucking liar.
Fraud.
Yes. And then every time in the future that a situation like that comes up again, they're going to think, he let us down once. So when it comes to individuals, I'm like, what's your story about yourself? I had this conversation with a person who was interested in working with me, and I told them, I'm like, this is not going to work because you're not in a place. You're very, very stuck in what your story is. And then I've had clients who are phenomenal because they're open to changing their story. Mm-hmm. So this guy had said, well, every time I start a nutrition plan, I always fail. Well, if you say that about yourself, you're going to live up to that. So I'm like, how about I try my best? I win each individual day, and then I say to myself, let's do that again tomorrow. So break things down into a smaller, like you don't have to make this grand story about your life, but what's today? What's the next hour? I had a guy who, he would let himself down so much, we broke everything down hour to hour. And I'm like, dude, I want to help this guy. He's struggling. I'm like, I'm just going to make myself more available. I'm like, I want you to text me every single hour. So every hour he would, okay, I won that hour. Good. Let's do it again. I won that hour. Let's do it again. This is a guy with a good job, a wife, kids. Men struggle, man. And there's not a lot of people that we have to go to. When we can only go to other men. Mm-hmm. You can't go to your girl with these problems. As much as women will say, oh, yeah, I want you to tell me. If your man comes to you and says, I don't know what to do. You're going to lose respect for him. We all know that as men. Yes, you want to share what your dreams are, what your goals are. Yeah, you know, babe, today was a rough day. How are you? But you have to make things, one, manageable and small steps. Mm-hmm. Just like everything. It's like if someone says, I want to get jacked, all right, ain't gonna happen by tomorrow. Tomorrow's step one. Or actually, I said today is step one. Tomorrow's step two. And the next day is step three. And just like you had said before we started, 150 episodes before things really blew up.
Yep.
That is, I mean, for anyone out there, that is a testament to what it takes to succeed. 150 and one a week. That's years of work. How many How many people, and you know this, would have quit after the first month?
Well, statistically, 99% of podcasts.
Exactly.
Literally.
And it's like, you know, but you had a vision. You saw something that there's people that need help. There are people benefiting. There are people listening and giving interaction. And we all want, you know, the big dreams to happen tomorrow, of course. But we also know as warriors, like, you gotta work, right? We're all Spartans in our own right. But some guys don't know how to bring that side out in them. We all have a dark side. We all have a warrior inside of us. But when you're so used to, one of the old saying is, it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener in a war. Something like that. It might have been Sun Tzu or Lao Tzu, or I'm getting that all confused. But it's better to be capable and not need it than to be capable and then when you, or incapable. Right. And then when you need it, you're asked out.
Let me ask you this. This is a tough question. I think people might, you know, get a little gut-wrenchy by it who are not living this way, but do you think that you can actually live a fulfilled life if you do not have a good relationship with yourself? I know the answer for me, you know, but I'm curious to hear your take on it.
Hell no. No. Because every man wakes up every morning, looks himself in the mirror. There's a conversation we always have with ourselves. After you get done doing the hair and the, you know, you look at yourself and you know the eyes are the window into the soul. And there's some guys who have trouble looking at themselves in the mirror.
I was just going to say, I disagree with that statement. I think a lot of people don't have the conversation with themselves. I think there's different levels. I think there's people who just choose to not have a conversation with themselves. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people that have that conversation and know damn well, I'm not a happy man right now.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, yes.
Yeah, this is my take on it.
So, okay, I would say, yeah, every man looks at themselves in the mirror, but it's true that they don't, some guys avoid it because they know what's in there. Dude, stepping into the fire hurts. It burns. And that's why men, like chicks dig scars, right? Men grow through struggle, but there's a lot of men that understand, they understand that they need to be better, but they don't want to step on those coals. They don't want to get slammed by that hammer. Look how swords are made. Pound the steel, get it hot. Pound the steel until it makes this thing that can just take life and save lands and conquer. But the shit is hard because you realize that effort is a big part of it. And a lot of guys will tell themselves from their story, I'm doing so much, I don't have time. Bullshit. Okay? We make time. You make time to watch that game on Sunday, right? You could have been doing what? And your kids watch you see that, right? See you watch that game. Now, if things are already good in life, yeah, take some time to watch the game. But chances are you could be better. One of my favorite statements of all time by Jordan Peterson is, we are not all that we could be and we know it. And I'll say that to guys. It's like, you are not all that you could be and you know it. You know it. No matter what you tell people. Mm-hmm. You tell, you know, things are good. How are things going? Oh, man, things are great. Bullshit, okay? Because when you look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, you know, I could be in better shape. My relationship with my wife's not the best. My relationship with my kids, I don't feel like a man who's capable and can protect my family. Yeah, you might be able to hire lawyers, but God forbid something happens. Look at all the stuff going on in the country now. Mm-hmm. You end up somewhere and someone pulls a gun or a knife and your family's behind you, but you've spent years in your comfort zone. I've seen where kids get yanked from their parents' arms because they can't protect them. Mm. Man, I don't have kids, but I can only imagine not just that the kid got taken, but the fact that you couldn't protect them because you were too busy being comfortable. And now your kid might be human trafficked or being taken and you know the stuff they do to them all because you were so comfortable all these years. You have to get to that place where you're driven by something that's what emotion creates motion. You have to be driven by something that's bigger than yourself. I'm always fascinated by the great people who've done great things you got the Muhammad Ali's, you got the Mahatma Gandhi's, you got Milton Friedman's, all these men who have done great things, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson was great because he had Customato. He's the most real life Rocky Balboa ever. He had the old, right? Mick was Customato.
Yep.
He was Rocky. He did it because he came from, he grew up in Brownsville, Brooklyn. Dad was a pimp. Mother was a sex worker and drug addict. He, every fight he went in was because he didn't want to go back to that lifestyle. When you saw him speak and fight, he was the embodiment of rage directed. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy broke him down, told him he could be great, and turned him into an absolute animal. When you look at people like Michael Jordan, he forged himself, and other people hated to play for him, but they respected him.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we need as men, is respect. And then we dial that back to when the man looks at the mirror, at themselves in the mirror. Do you respect yourself?
Oof, stay right there. So that I think, is huge. How can you in life, and this is a statement, not really a question, expect respect from other people when you truly don't even respect yourself and how you live? That's so true. And I think it's so true in relationships. I think it's true in intimate relationships. I think it's true in friendships. Yeah. I think it's true in business relationships. Relationships are a huge part of the world, you know? And if you don't have the relationship with yourself, how the hell are you going to have a relationship with other people? I want to talk a little bit about your, let's talk hormones, right? Okay, so when people hear TRT, testosterone replacement therapy, a lot of people who are not knowledgeable with that will automatically think steroids. I know your approach, but let's give some insight and education on the concept of how you diagnose men's hormone optimization, as you like to call it.
Okay.
And start with, like, the doctor approach. Let's start there.
Okay, so first and foremost is that testosterone replacement therapy is to replace what should or could be there if either the genetics were where they need to be, or whatever happened, environmental disrupting hormones, endocrine disrupting hormones, excuse me, from the environment, or if you've had, you know, hypogonadal, and let's say you were born that way. That means you don't produce enough testosterone just based on your genetics.
How many, what percentage of men do you think have low testosterone?
It's growing. I mean, now you're seeing it in guys as young as early 20s, teens.
And that's partially from food too, huh?
Yeah. From food, lifestyle, endocrine disrupting hormones in everything. Mm. It's in the self-care products. It's in our clothing. It's in the food that we eat, the water we drink. So it's a growing percentage. And men these days, in many cases, have upwards of 50% the testosterone that our ancestors had.
Wow.
50%. Now, just visualize back in the times of, let's say, like the medieval times, right? When swords were still the thing of, what kind of testosterone do those guys have to be in battles like that?
Through the roof.
Like the movie 300,
yeah.
Troy, Gladiator. That was a real thing, which is nuts. And I think it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, everything's easy, right? It's like, and then even after that, that was hunter-gatherer times, but hunter-gatherer times, even closer to us, it's like you had to go hunt your animal. Oh, well, there's food for the next month. You just go rent. All right, well, you got to go get it. Now it's like, okay, let me get, what am I going to have? And let me get cheese on that. And it's like, there's no drive for us to do the things that would cause our bodies to rise to the occasion, testosterone-wise. Mm-hmm. So part of it is what's in our environment is also in the water. So there's things like fluoride that are in water. Now, a lot of people don't understand, but fluoride's actually an endocrine disrupting hormone. It affects your thyroid. So back in the day, they used to give fluoride treatments to people in dental offices. Oh, it's going to make your teeth stronger. And they realize nowadays that's not the case. Matter of fact, Huberman, like you were saying, has talked about that. Same thing with Peter Attia. And these chemicals, when consumed every single day, because if you're drinking tap water or whatever, over the course of years, can have an effect on you, especially if genetically, let's say you just have lower thyroid function, right? Which might be fine, but then when they're beat on by these chemicals, right? And then the things in food. Well, if you're buying food that's got, I mean,
seed oils are huge.
Seed oils, you've got pesticides, and all these things that start to attack your body. And some people, there's a reason why we all know that McDonald's and Burger King are not great food, quality food, right? Relative to something that you'd cook yourself, maybe that grew in the backyard and you, you know, grew it yourself or slaughtered it yourself. You eat those things over the course of years, it's going to have an effect on you. And then you add on to not exercising. These things have slowly started to degrade men's testosterone. And then now it's all the social media and the things they're telling men not to be, like masculine, right? So when we talk about the biological level, 100%, there's the water, there's toothpaste, there's mouthwash. These things will destroy our ability to produce nitric oxide, our ability to produce thyroid hormone, our ability to produce testosterone. And why do you think you have so many lethargic people today? Then they're just scrolling all day, right? So you've got a guy who doesn't have to fight, protect, provide in the ways that they used to. Then you've got the chemicals that they're consuming every day. Then you've got the fact that they're not even that active. They're sitting at a desk all day, out of the sun, right? So then now you're not getting the vitamin D production, the vitamin B hormones that you need, or vitamins that you need. There's so many areas of our health that are being attacked that now you've got men who are just a shadow of what men used to be.
It's almost overwhelming though, right? When you hear all that stuff, you're bringing it to light and it's like, ah, well, where the hell do you start? I love your approach though. And I want to go back to the question that I asked you before though. You basically start with you monitor their blood work with a doctor. Right. This is how, like, when men come to you, talk to me about the approach that you have with them to see their hormonal imbalance and stuff.
So I look at blood work myself.
Okay.
And I can also refer them to a doctor if they want to do something like HRT. So a guy will come to me in the beginning and say, hey, either I want to lose weight, I want to build muscle, I want to improve my health. Maybe their blood pressure's high, cholesterol's high. I've had tons of clients with that. Sometimes they have digestive diseases. I've had people with diverticulitis, with ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, just regular IBS and regular inflammation, gas, bloating, acid reflux. And they'll have a series of these things that they want to improve. So because, I mean, you can't hide from what's inside. That's what I say. Blood work shows everything. You can guess, let's take a look. So they'll come to me and I'll look at their blood work, and let's say their cholesterol is high. Let's say their testosterone's lower than it should be, or just plain bottomed out. Let's say their thyroid hormone's affected. You want to start with a grassroots approach because it's the foundation for everything, regardless of what route you choose to go. So I'm like, we're going to get your sleep improved. I don't say perfect because we know how that goes. We're going to get your nutrition improved. The better you get it, the better foundation you have for, it's just like a car, right? If you don't have a good frame, you can put a big engine in it, it's going to blow apart. The same thing with your health and fitness is that we get the nutrition squared away. We get the exercise squared away. We get your mindset squared away. And part of that is also stress management, right? Having a lot of guys who work in the finance industry, who work as entrepreneurs, they're very, very stressed. And people don't understand how much of an effect that plays. Because people like to try to out-supplement bad diets and just a rough lifestyle. It's like if every day you're on a screen all day, so you're getting that blue light, and then you're not getting sleep, so you're getting 4 or 5 hours of sleep. Then you're on the screen all day, and you're indoors, so you're not getting sun. And you're stressed because either maybe the clients, whatever's happened with the money, things at work are very demanding. You get home, you have kids. Daddy, 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 daddy. You don't come down from that. You're always in fight or flight. So your cortisol is up all day. That plays a role in water retention, in making fat loss harder, in making building muscle harder, recovering from workouts harder. Producing more testosterone becomes harder. And then combine that with being overweight. So I'll look at these things and say, okay, where do we start? The basics. What's your sleep like? Yeah, well, I'm getting 4 or 5 hours. Okay. One of my guys, Kev, shout out to Kev. We were working together last year and he came to me, he was getting 4 hours on average. It's funny because you look a lot like Kevin Helm, one of my former
must
clients.
Be a good looking guy.
So he's actually a good dude. It's because he's like, you guys got the same beard.
Yep.
Like, funny. But he came to me and, you know, he was struggling in some of those areas. And one of the big things that made a big difference, the reason why I bring him up, was sleep. And it's funny because he had an Oura ring, but in the beginning, he got pissed at it because he was like, this thing never shows me what I want to see. I'm like, it's because you ain't getting to sleep.
Yep.
But he was getting 4 hours, and I'm like, all right, Kev, I want you to add 15 minutes. He's like, all right, you know, let's, he's like, how am I going to do that, man? Because he runs a barbershop. Side note, if you want to get your hair done, obviously I'm not the guy to, you know, that worries about that, but the man does good work. So at first I'm like, I want you to get 15 more minutes. So he started doing that. And it was a struggle in the beginning because he's got a daughter. He's a husband, mm-hmm. business owner. Things are always on his mind. Type A. He's like, I got to get stuff done. People need me. And that started to improve. So I'm like, dude, I want you to put that Oura ring back on. I want to see what's going on. So 15 minutes after several weeks, then we added 30, right? So then we added 45. And we got to a medium where he was about 6 hours. Mm. Blood pressure went down. His blood markers improved. His stress level improved. I actually got him to start doing guided meditation also. 5 minutes, that's it. I'm like, yeah, I want you to pick the most stressful part of your day. Do this right before that. So you go in there thinking, he's like, yeah, it's in the morning when I have to go to work because he goes to the gym early, like 4 a.m. Then he, you know, hustles, gets the kids, you know, the daughter squared away, and then has to go to work. So grassroots, I'm like, we're going to start with sleep because the sleep is going to allow you to recover better. That's going to mean you're more relaxed in the morning. That's going to mean your digestion's better. That's going to mean your blood pressure improves, that, right? So it's not about supplements, which a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to take ashwagandha. I'm going to take this. I'm going to take that. Then you're just a crappy foundation with a bunch of pills on top.
Right, right.
Right? So after that, we improve the nutrition. Then I'll look at their blood work again because I'll always say, when was the last blood work you got done? I want to look at that. Even if it was years ago, I want to see a baseline of where you were. Mm-hmm. Then after we work together for a period of time, I'll say, all right, I want you to get blood work again. So when they get it done, I'll see, has the nutritional intervention improved that? Okay, this is better. Okay, fasting glucose is better. Okay, cholesterol is a little bit better. Okay, we got to improve on that. And it allows me to see what their lifestyle, what their eating habits, what their mindset, and people think it's kind of like witch doctor-ish, but your mindset plays a big role. And then I'll continue to address things as far as that. Now, when the doctors come into play, is that if we've done all that and they've made significant improvement, because one, the doctors that I've built relationships with over the years, they will not give these guys TRT unless they improve these things. Mm. So I'm like, look, dude, you're not just going to bypass me and go to them. Right. You can try, but they're going to deny you, right? They're going to tell you the same things that I'm having you work on. Well, let's get some of the weight off. Let's start here. Mm-hmm. Let's bring you to them as this vessel that's ready for TRT if it needs it. So you take the car, you got to build the internals before you put that supercharger or big turbo on it, or else, poof. So I'll send them to the doc. The doc will do their initial investment, their initial assessment. They'll often have them do blood work again because they have their very comprehensive mm-hmm. panels. And they, you know, sometimes I've had docs who just look at the blood work I've had them do and they're like, yeah, you know, this is comprehensive enough. I see this is here. They'll look at their blood pressure, look at their, again, all the things. And they'll say, all right, well, you know, your testosterone is 250. You know, testosterone replacement therapy is something that you're qualified for. You know, how would you like to go about it?
Where do you want to be?
That is a great question. So, of course.
It used to be like 400 was low, right? But now like 400 is like kind of like medium?
It depends on the person. So what's interesting is that, you know, this is where a lot of people love to hear like the number.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, if I'm not 500, that means I've had guys in the fours that are phenomenal. Good physique, great energy, great sex drive. You know, vigorous and just kicking ass in life. Then I've had guys who were in the 400s and they're like, dude, I feel like absolute ass. And that's because wherever they need to be genetically is different. So some guys genetically are 800, 900. So if they're in 4 or 3, they're just feel like crap. So that's why when it comes to TRT, there's no specific number. Mm-hmm. There's try and let's see where you are, or let's administer and let's see what happens. So this is also an approach that I think a lot of people need to understand is that TRT is something you build on and you calibrate over time. So the standard, if you will, for most guys who are on TRT is between 100 to 200 milligrams per week of testosterone. But you have to try that wherever the doc decides to go. If they're bottomed out, they're probably on the higher end of that. Right. If they're decent, but not, still not feeling great, you might be on the lower end. So you do that. You do their blood work again in, let's say, 6 or 8 weeks. Let's see where you are. But more importantly, how you feel. Mm. Because you don't, you never treat numbers, you treat people. So if the guy comes in and he's like, yeah, doc, dude, I'm feeling great. Sex life is great. Wife's happy. I got energy to play with my kids. You know, I'm starting to lose weight. I'm building muscle. I feel stronger. My digestion's better. It affects everything. Then the doc's like, all right, good. So we're in a good spot. If some guys are like, yeah, man, I'm still not feeling good. Okay, let's increase the dosage. Mm-hmm. And you still have to keep those things that were built in that foundation, right. The health, the fitness. So it's really a holistic approach.
I love it. I do.
And I only build relationships with, and more importantly, recommend clients to doctors who are on that page, because there's plenty of clinics. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you go to Miami, there's clinics everywhere. And I've had guys come to me after being at clinics like that, where they would go to a clinic in Miami or Brickell or wherever, and they put together packages. Oh, this one's $1,500. You get, you know, tests, you get Arimidex, you get blah, 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 blah. They throw it at him. The guy just starts, you know, doing it. And they're like, yeah, I still don't feel good. I'm like, are you working out? Well, I'm kind of like, you know. So they're just looking to make a quick buck.
Right.
And I'll use them as an example. Like when I talk to other clients, I'm like, I've had guys who have gone that route. Just because you put the stuff in you doesn't mean, it's just like, just because you've got great tires doesn't mean you have a fast car. You have to know how to drive it. Just because you got a big engine doesn't mean it won't crash.
Mm. Yeah, I love the approach. Very, very scientific and mm-hmm. dialed in. This episode is brought to you by Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening. Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening is an experienced teeth whitening salon where you can get up to 7 shades lighter with just a 60 or 90 minute session in a professional and relaxing setting. They offer the most superior product coupled with the highest quality of customer service available to get you instant results. Whether you have an important event to attend, such as a wedding, birthday, anniversary, interview, or you are just unhappy with the color of your teeth, this LED light technology helps whiten your teeth fast and easy. At Hudson Valley Teeth Whitening, they understand how important your smile is to you. And speaking from personal experience, you'll be guided by highly efficient staff in a relaxing environment to reach your desired shade. Let them know you're a friend of Dave's from the No Snooze podcast and connect with them at HudsonValleyTeethWhitening.com or on Instagram at HVTeethWhitening. Now, back to the epi. I want to touch on two important pieces, and we're coming up on time, so I want to be mindful of that. Investing in yourself, right? You hear this all the time, but very few actually do it. Mm. From what I know and what I see of you, you actually live by that. You know, even your involvement in the ACE Summit, and then watching that return tenfold come, you know, the relationships that you're building through that, the business moves that are happening, it's incredible. How hard of a decision was it to go after somebody like Bedros Koulian now, who happens to be a coach for you, right? And it's not a cheap investment, no. Right? So I guess when is the right time to do that, and how important is investing in yourself?
Mm. Excellent question. Is the right time? The right time is always now. People hear that and they're like, oh, but things are busy. Are they ever really going to get less busy? Some people make the argument, well, I have kids. I'll wait till they go to college. Okay, well, if they're 10 now, so you're telling me you're going to wait another almost decade. Investing in yourself is the most important and significant thing that you can ever do. Because it's like on airplanes, right? When the oxygen mask comes down, what do you have to do? You put it on yourself first, so you can take care of others. This is actually an analogy that I got from Grant Cardone. So, and for any of you guys who don't know who he is, you know, look him up. Good dude. So he said, he's like, well, he donates to his church. He donates to charities. He's like, dude, you can't help people if you don't achieve success. Now that is in different facets. It's not just financial, but that is one aspect. Mm-hmm. People say, oh, I want to start charities. Are you broke? Well, then how can you do that? Go try, right? Yeah, you might be able to give the homeless guy $5, but if you want to make a big impact, same thing with fitness. If you want to have an impact on your family and your community, you have to invest in yourself, invest the time each day. And then, dude, hell or high water, every single time, every single client I have, every single one, if I haven't said that enough times, when they get fit, their friends or family always benefit. Every time. When I have husbands who get in shape, their wife always starts eating a little bit better. And then it trickles down to the kids. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the wife actually, she lost a couple pounds. I'm like, oh, interesting. Why is that? Well, you know, she started kind of seeing what I was doing and she felt, well, if you're getting in shape, I should probably do that too. And you know, our kids are naturally eating more, so they're eating better.
Yep.
Versus the, oh, their kids, they can get away with all the candy and BS. When it comes to investing in yourself, as far as like, you know, when we had our first conversation, man, I know that you guys are headed places and you just, it is a feeling you get. And the opportunity to you know, meet you guys and be involved in the circle that you're in, it's an investment. It's investment in time. It's investment in money. And it's something that you have to look at. It's not, you can't look at investment as what do I lose? It's what do I stand to gain? This is why a lot of people don't make progress. Every single benefit takes an investment. If you want to get in shape, well, you have to invest time. You have to invest time in the food you eat, time in the gym. Your sleep is an investment of time, right? Because if you could sleep less and do other things, even though I argue a lot of people who don't sleep less don't necessarily get more done. The same thing with money. People say, oh, I don't have the money to, okay, what can you stop investing in so that you can invest in other things? People eat out every day. I'm like, well, if you're really, really struggling, what can you do to save a couple bucks so that now you can invest in something? Whether it's a stock market, real estate, if it's in, you know, an organization that's going to help you learn how to, you know, build financial literacy, whatever it is. Investing is the most important thing in every aspect of life. When you want a good relationship with your kids, what do you have to do? Invest quality time. Oh, I'm too busy for my kids. Okay, let's see how they turn out. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm too busy for fitness. All right, let's see how you turn out. I'm too busy to invest my money in compounding interest in some aspect. Okay, well, you could try to save until you're rich. Okay, you might as well, you know, plan on what the grave is going to look like, because it's not. It's so important. And I'll say this, is that every single time I've invested in something that was going to help me grow, it's always been a benefit. The people that I met through the ACE Summit, dude, Matt Ramos, awesome dude, Nick Menente. All you guys are awesome, and I've learned things from all of you. And I see we all have to be surrounded by other guys who are doing great things, other people who are doing great things. If you want to be great, you have to be around people who are doing better. Because if you're the one doing best, well, where's your target?
Right. There's no ceiling. You are the ceiling.
Exactly. We talked about setting goals and targets earlier. If your target is not big enough, and you should really shoot for more than you think you can achieve. On my phone, my screensaver says you have to be willing to dream even past your own imagination. So it's like somebody says, let's say you want to make $10 million a year. Well, shoot for 20. You'll probably get 10, right? Because you don't always hit it. But if you want to dream big, if you want to invest in real estate, well, it's actually something I do want to do. Funny enough, I meet Matt. Right. And it's like, eventually I want to have my own summits. Look what you guys did. Phenomenal summit. Amazing location. Guys with breakthroughs. The cold plunge. The fact you guys, I mean, the location was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was.
The workouts that you had guys do, men grow through struggle. You took them through that struggle and they grew. How did I experience that? Because I invested in it. I invested in myself and invested in you guys. It's something that's missing from today's world is brotherhood. When you look back at men who have done great things in the past, they all had brothers, not just biological, but non-biological. And they say, just because your blood don't mean your family, right? You got to invest in men who want to see you succeed, who are there when you win to celebrate, and who are there to pick you up and be like, dude, keep going. When you fail, because you will fail. That's what people fear, is that investing. Well, if I give my money, I'm not talking about something get rich quick scheme. I'm not talking about investing in the pill that says you can sit on the couch and you're going to lose a bunch of weight. Now they got that stupid ab zapper thing, those that tell you you're going to get a six pack. Come on, don't invest in the shake weight. The shake weight made millions. That's a bunch of people who are investing in something that's, I mean, hey, maybe you have a strong arm or you're working on something, some career that, you know, we all know what that is, but investing in yourself to grow, to become a better leader, more fit, more capable. Surrounding yourself, sometimes you have to invest in being surrounded by better people. I have guys who are like, man, I don't have a network of guys who I'm like, all right, well, do you have a local business organization that's in your town?
Right.
Or is there a men's club? Or, you know, go join a shooting club or something. Go do martial arts, you know? Invest. It always takes time. It always takes some level of money or something, but you will always benefit. Mm. And the people around you will benefit.
Powerful. And I couldn't agree more, to be honest with you. And my life started to change when I made the decision to invest in the things that I want to align with. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to be said about having skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know this better than
anybody. And I want to bring up an example about you. Yep. This podcast. We were talking about the amount of money it takes to do a good podcast. This is a mm-hmm. good podcast. 150 episodes, you said, before you saw. How many people would say, dude, the money's not. You had a bigger vision. You have not had. You have a bigger vision. If you guys listening, he is a perfect example of that. A lot of you say, oh, I'd love to start a podcast. Well, he put foot to ass and actually did it. And was like, I'm sure, I know you've had days where you're like, man, should I keep doing this? All right, how much? I mean, let me look at the bottom end. Okay, is this costing me this much, that much? Okay, what does this really mean? I got kids to pay for. I got.
And it's harder to do when you have other people involved.
Yes.
Right? Because you know their mindset
is,
you know, I have a vision,
mm-hmm.
but it's hard to also keep other people locked in. But that's the hardest part is to keep other people locked into the vision.
Yeah. Sell the dream.
Yeah. I mean, you have to.
Patrick Bed David is one of my favorite entrepreneurs mm-hmm. of all
Great
time.
Great guy. Yeah.
And he talks about that. You got to sell the dream.
Mm-hmm.
This is also something that a lot of men need to look at is that your inner circle. Look at the people around you. What do they want for their own lives? Because that will translate to you. We were talking about Andrew Tate, right?
Yep, yep.
You know, he does some, he's got his vision on things. But if you look at the guys around him, they're all killers. They're all winners. And that's what you have to be. I'm not saying you got to be around Warren Buffett every day. You got to be around Grant Cardone and Patrick. But one, what are you consuming, the content? If you're just scrolling and looking at chicks' butts, I get it. It looks nice. Mm-hmm. I like looking at it too. But is it going to get you where you want to go, right? If you just blew an hour just looking at that stuff, that hour could have been reading. It could have been, all right, you know, let me search for some profiles on social media of people who are where I want to be. Let me DM them, see if they answer. You'd be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I've DM'd Patrick and he's answered, which is nuts
because
that guy is so busy.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got the opportunity to meet him in Greenwich once, which was awesome. And it's like, you never know. It used to be 6 degrees of separation. Now it's 1 degree.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you're a DM away. And you, if you think about like the books you read, the people you're surrounded by, invest in yourself, and you have to know you're good. Like Muhammad Ali, he said he was great before anyone else did. I'm not saying you got to go out there and stand on your soapbox. I'm great. People are going to laugh at you. Yeah. And they laughed at him. But look where he is now. He's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing in business. It's like if you want to achieve something, you have to put that before everything else. If you say, I'm going to make a better life for my family. Okay, it's easy to say it. You have to make that your life's mission. It has to come before, oh yeah, the boys want to hang out. Sometimes the boys got to wait. Unless they're on the same mission. And by hanging out with them, you're gonna end up where you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough because sometimes you got to get rid of people too.
Very tough. All right, final question here. And it's something I guess just for me, I always like to hear because I think it humanizes us as individuals. I have a lot of sections of my life where I want to improve, you know, and even on I just came back from vacation. I always talk about patience, you know, and my lack of it.
Mm.
So I had a shitty moment in the airport. You know, it was a great start to the trip. Oh, I'm sorry. It was a great trip, but the start of it was absolutely terrible. Trying to rush through the airport to catch the actual flight.
Mm.
I fly Mosaic, which is like JetBlue's, you know, like I'm not proud of it because you got to spend $50,000 on a credit card in 1 year to get Mosaic. So like, you know what I mean? Let's be clear. You got to spend a lot of money to do it. But you know, this poor old lady, she's basically at the gate and you know, the young lady I was traveling with, she didn't have the Mosaic on her ticket, but she's automatic Mosaic because she's flying with me. And there was like, literally, you're talking an international flight. So you're supposed to be there like, what, at least an hour, 3 hours, CV is saying. But you're supposed to be, I mean, you got to get to the gate. I don't know. You want to be at least 30 minutes before your flight, right? The flight is closing. So like, I'm not even through security yet. And this is real bad, right? So like now I'm real stressed. And literally, do you know that I gave this girl a ticket, this woman a ticket? She said, oh, no, you got to go back to the JetBlue thing. I said, ma'am, and I snatched the ticket right out of her hand and I started walking through the Mosaic line. Really embarrassing moment, though, for me, because one, she actually like called security. They ended up coming and, you know, they ended up letting us through because they understood the severity of it. And I was right. Mm-hmm. But my patience in that moment, man, it was due to the circumstance at that time. And I always try to, you know, remind myself that real emotions don't have to do with temporary circumstance, right? When you're in control of your emotions, it doesn't matter what's going on in that moment. So I should have been able to say, you know what, maybe go to a different line or something like that. But patience has been something that I'm really trying to improve. Do you have something in your life that you're constantly battling and trying to improve on as a man?
Every day. Living up to what I say I'm going to do. It's because every day you have to show up. Man, patience. Patience is a powerful thing because goals. Again, your podcast, patience. You've had years of patience and it paid off, paying off. Getting in shape, patience. Building relationships, patience, right? Finding the right one for you, patience. Patience is a foundation of life. Baking, you open the oven too early. Oh, you let the heat out. You weren't patient. Patience is a virtue, and I understand that now more than ever. Things, man, my struggle is making sure that, yeah, I show up every day and I don't get distracted. That's a hard thing in today's world because there's so many things out there, and I've failed tons of times. I'll say that, you know, a lot of people look at, you know, guys like you and I, and, oh, they're all probably perfect every day. Nah. We're a result of all the failures we have been through and still kept going. So, you know, not getting distracted, being present is a hard one too, because there's so many things that you could be doing. One of the concepts I brought up at ACE was be where your feet are, right? You have to be in the moment, and that takes patience, right? Because if you're already on to the next thing, think about conversations that you have with people. Whether it's your significant other, whether it's your kids, not rushing in to say something before they speak or before they're done speaking. Well, let me, because we listen to reply, not to actually understand. When people say like, I don't understand why you, think about the first three words. I don't understand. So listen to understand. It takes patience. And for me, being patient with myself as far as how long the journey does take to achieve all the things that I want to achieve. I'll say that, man, you understanding that failure is an indispensable prerequisite to success. That takes immense patience. And also understanding that people, no one's going to care about your goals as much as you. So with me, sometimes you tell people things and they're like, oh yeah, it's great to hear, whatever. Or you're not doing as well as you said you would. And they're like, yeah, I think I'm really not into this anymore. You're like, no, but it's going to happen. You have to just stick with me. Like you said, sell the dream. Things that I struggle with are that. And also, you know, making sure that you take care of the people around you and you really show appreciation. Because that's something that a lot of us as men don't do. I've lost relationships over it before. And, you know, it's all part of the growing process, but sometimes, you know how it is. Like women is, oh, I want to hear how you feel. I want to understand that I'm important. And you're like, yeah, don't you understand that? I told you last month, but you have to say it every day. And you have to show people that you genuinely appreciate them. That's something I've struggled with. Expressing how I truly feel about things and not just the, well, just do it, get it done, being the hard ass, but showing people. Like, if you have a good guy that you consider a brother, if you tell him what he truly means, I just had this with one of my best friends, Mike. So one of my great friends lives out in Tennessee. Awesome dude. He works for a tactical response team at a nuclear weapons facility. Dude is a badass.
It's a cool job.
Yeah. Dude is a badass. And one day I kept thinking, a lot of times when I speak to men, I bring him up as a great example of a father. And got on the phone one day and I just told him, holy shit, dude. He's like, thank you for that. And he's not a guy who's an emotional, like, whoa, blubbering and strong dude. brought our relationship even closer. And we've been together, friends since high school. Showing up in every way is something I've struggled with. When it comes to, you say you're going to be somewhere, be there. You say you're going to accomplish something to a certain degree, right? Yeah, you can fudge things, but did you say you were going to do something a certain way? Did you say you were going to be at your kid's game? Did you say you were going to make this amount of money? Did you say that you were going to get this thing for this person? You were going to introduce somebody, right? Making sure that you are a man of your word. That's something I've struggled with in the past. And I've had conversations where I've sat myself down and said, dude, you're a fuck up. And if you continue to do things this way, people are not going to continue to trust in you. Mm. And that's a hard conversation because then you also have to do the apology part. That's hard too. Like, look, I know I said I was going to, but you know, I'm sorry I didn't. I'll be better next time. And sometimes they say, you know, that I appreciate that, but that's unfortunately, ship's already sailed. Mm. Sometimes people will give you the grace and they say, all right, I believe you. But you have to be genuine in your appreciation for other people. You have to work your ass off. Understand that everything is going to take more work than you think. There's what we think it's going to take and what it will actually take. And Les Brown, one of my favorite motivational speakers, says, when you've done all that you can and you have not achieved it, then you must do what's required. Mm. You can say, oh, I did my best. Maybe your best ain't good enough. So how do you learn to do the next thing? So one of the things that I've made a promise to do is buy my mom a house, right? And I am not okay with the fact, and I told her that I'm going to do that, and I am not okay with the fact of ever coming to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, mom, I just couldn't do it. It's not an option. Like, I can imagine with your daughter, it's not an option that you're going to provide a good life for her.
That's right.
Not an option. Oh, I'm sorry, daddy. He was tired today. I couldn't do it. So unfortunately, you know, we can't go on that trip. Or I'm sorry, you know, I can't get you a toy for Christmas. No. And that's why I say emotion creates emotion. As men, we have to find what we're fighting for. Look back at the Spartans, right? You're fighting to protect your kingdom. Yeah, you might die on your shield, but that's the ultimate sacrifice. You have to be willing to make that ultimate sacrifice, or at least frame it in your mind that way, like MJ did. There's a certain depth to our character, to our desire to achieve things that we can all get to, but you have to be willing to take those basic steps. The guy that says, I want to lose 5 pounds. Oh, I'm just too, man, you got to make it bigger than yourself. You have to, and sometimes I say, I want you to go to your kids and make a promise to them. Because if you don't achieve that, then you're a liar as a father. And for me, I got myself to that point where I'm like, listen, make this bigger than yourself. You're not all that you could be, and you know it. And it's a struggle every day to keep up to that, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Because the guys that I'm fortunate enough to be around, like you, like Sean, like, you know, being, you know, coached by Bedros, which is a blessing to be able to do that. It's like, I'm not going to let these people down, because then you're just another one of the suckers who just, he's like everybody else. But I want to be, you know, I'm committed to being a leader. To buy my mom that house, I can't fail. I don't give myself a plan B, because then you're already saying, well, it's probably not going to work. So it's just, there's no other option. And everything in life has only gotten better after I've adopted that mentality.
I love the passion behind what you do, man. I mean, I'm extremely grateful for you, not only today, but this relationship. You know, I knew from day one, like I said early on the podcast, that this relationship was going to grow and flourish, and we're going to do some incredible things together, man. Happy you came on here, and I'm happy you took the time. I know you have a very busy schedule. So I always want to make sure that I let you know, and especially in person, man. Thank you very much, and I'm grateful for you.
Appreciate you.
Where can everybody find you and connect with you?
So Christian F. Palmer on Instagram, Christian Palmer on Facebook. Website is relentlessfitnessandnutrition.com. And my YouTube is also Relentless Fitness and Nutrition.
Awesome. Guys, the real deal right here. I don't just pump anybody's stuff. You know that. And honestly, just want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing this show. This growth that we've been talking about is only because of the listeners and what they put into it. So guys, we're extremely grateful for you. Please share this show. If you find value in what we do, send it to a friend, leave us a review. You can shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. And until next time, stop snoozing.
Get up and get after it.
And do not get kicked by this man right here. Please do not. Thank you guys for tuning in. That's another epi in the books. You can follow us on Instagram at No Snooze Podcast and leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, No Snooze. Shop the latest merch at nosnoozeshop.com. Come on.